This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Shao Eek. It is our Mind Matter segment today, and we'll be discussing how to build health resilience of B40 families. For this segment, I have joining me Cindy Chu from Souls Health, Lakshwin Muruga from Women of Will, and Madeline Yong from Power of Play. So this is quite a full panel here. And, you know, we're looking at, of course, we know that low-income families have been disproportionately affected by the COVID-19 crisis this year. And the impact of the pandemic on their mental health may be eclipsed by other more visible challenges like the daily struggle to survive, the loss of income, and lack of access to education or other social services. So in this Mind Matters episode, I want to speak to these three organizations, Souls Health, Women of Will, and Power of Play, because they are working together on a project to develop the well-being and health resilience of B40 families living in PPR housing. So this is a project that I understand is led by Women of Will, in working with the other two organizations, and they're going to try to simultaneously address the needs of women and children in these families. And I want to try to draw the link between addressing these needs in order to improve mental health and their mental well-being. So let's find out more from them right now. How are the three of you today, Cindy, Lakshwin, and Madeline?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
doing well. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for speaking to me today. So I think we need to, know where you're coming from first. So if I could get you to tell us about yourselves, your respective organizations, and what you do, perhaps we can start with you, Lakshwin.
So I'm with Women of Will, and we're an organization that's focused on empowering B40 mothers through entrepreneurship. And what that means is that we enter PPR communities and we work with groups of women ranging from about 25 to 50 women. And we support them by giving them microloans, training on entrepreneurship and practical skills, as well as coaching to help them grow their businesses sustainably and profitably.
All right. What about you, Madeline?
So Power Play is a play therapy organization. We offer therapeutic services to individual children, groups, and also group work with adults.
All right. And Cindy, I've spoken to you before, and I've been doing the Mind Matters series quite regularly with Souls Health. But perhaps in this context, how do you work with partner organizations like Women of Will and Power of Play?
Yes, Souls Health, we are a community-oriented mental health center, and we really aim to bring mental health to the community and work with partners to be able to create sustainable change. We understand that we can't do this alone, and that's why working with partners like Women of Will and Power of Play brings together different aspects that are the social determinants of health, of mental health, so that we could really create that lasting change.
Lakshwin, can I, find out how do you see mental health and mental well-being coming into the work that you do?
So I think in the past year, because of COVID-19 and MCO, we've been seeing this come up more and more. So at the start of the MCO in March, we started doing surveys with our communities to understand how they're getting through and what challenges they're facing. And surprisingly, most of them came back citing that they were very stressed with managing their household, stressed with managing the loss of jobs faced by their children, by their husbands, by themselves as well, by the uncertainty of the environment, not understanding what they are allowed to do and what they should be doing with their time. So because of this, we realized that, okay, mental health is a huge need at the moment, and this needs to be addressed quite urgently. Hence why we reached out to Souls Health and Power of Play.
And what about you, Madeline, when we're talking about children? How does mental health come into the work that you do?
I guess with the MCO, the first thing we think about is, oh dear, kids are confined at home. They have got no more connection with children, right? So we decided that, stress is okay, but prolonged stress will take a toll on a child's health. So what we wanted to come up with was basically to create a safe space for children to be able to express, process the experience of being locked down and isolated. When the ability to be able to express themselves and process the emotions will eventually move to, you know, self-acceptance. Because otherwise, you know, there's going to be a lot of acting up or shutting down, right? When there's too much stress, you know, it's either a child will act out, which we see a lot, you know, so kids that are struggling online with school, or they may attend school online, but then on the other hand, they struggle with the homework. Or they may not even have, with this community, they may not even have access to school. So their friends are also not accessible. That's the reason why we basically linked up with them. Wow, you know, they are working with parents, and we thought, okay, you know, all parents have got kids, yeah, right? That's why.
So let's talk a little bit more about this project then, developing the well-being and health resilience of B40 families. Lakshmi, can we get you to tell us how this came about?
Sure. So again, based on our surveys, we identify that, all right, these mothers and their families are facing a lot of stress, and that's something we need to help them with. In addition to that, because they were not really equipped to face this pandemic and the lockdown, they don't really have the necessary resources to get through it properly, right? So one way in which that is affecting their family is through poor nutrition, because many of these families have had to rely on food aid for their families, and many times these food aids don't really have very balanced menu in it. So we realized that, all right, to support these families, we need to support them through nutrition so that they can maintain a healthy body for themselves and their family, as well as supporting their mental health, right, through Salt's health, as well as supporting their children's mental health through POP. So this project really aims to support 30 women over a period of 4 months, along with their 40 children. So the mothers will undergo training on nutritional awareness and nutritional baking and cooking skills, as well as mental health classes with Salt's Health, while their children go through psychosocial play therapy with Power of Play.
Can you tell me how the nutrition program will look in terms of, I mean, nutritional awareness is of course key, and it builds that foundation for them to make the right choices for their families. But in terms of their capacity to put nutritious food on the table, will there be monetary aid or anything of the sort to further, you know, enhance their capacity?
Sure, yeah. So over this period of 4 months, each month will be focused on one area of nutritional awareness. So for example, one of the areas is nutrition for children, or nutrition for the elderly, nutrition to avoid non-communicable diseases. So the women will focus on that skill and that area for each month. And along with the online classes that they'll be going through, they'll be also given a food pack which includes these nutritional items so that they can practice cooking it for their families. In addition to that, they'll also be given a budget every month to actually make products with the nutritional skills that they have learned, and to practice giving that to other families. The objective of this is just to basically get them started in making these products so that they are more comfortable in selling it once the program is over. Because the objective really is to help them create a more nutritious family while also using the skills to make their products more nutritious so that it starts having an impact on the community as a whole. And towards the end of the program, we'll also be having sharing sessions where these families can then share their experience and their skills with other community members, again, to expand the impact of the program.
All right. So how much of a budget will each woman or family get?
So each woman will get 100 ringgit worth of food items per month, as well as 100 ringgit for a budget to produce products to give to other families in need.
Okay, coming up, we'll look at the mental health classes that Source Health will be doing under this program, which is developing the well-being and health resilience of B40 families. It's a project spearheaded by Women of Will, together in partnership with Source Health and Power of Play. So we'll find out more about the mental health aspects as well as the psychosocial play therapy for children. I'm speaking to Lakshmi Muruga from Women of Will, Madeline Yong from Power of Play, as well as Cindy Chu from Souls Health on our Mind Matters segment today. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living on the Bigger Picture. I'm speaking today to Cindy Chu from Souls Health, Lakshmin Muruga from Women of Will, and Madeline Yong from Power of Play for our Mind Matters segment. Now, these three organizations are working together on a project that's aimed at building the health resilience of B40 families in a specific PPR community. Before the break, we heard a little bit about what each of these organizations does, how they work with different parts of our community. Women of Will works with disadvantaged women, providing things like microcredit financing and helping them to develop sustainable incomes. Power of Play works with children by providing a space and programs for play therapy. And Souls Health, of course, is a community-based organization to build mental and emotional capacity of communities. Now, they're working together on a project that's aimed at developing the well-being and health resilience of B40 families. Now, let's look at the mental health classes that Souls Health will be conducting or has been conducting. Cindy, would you like to explain a little bit more?
Yes. So for the Souls Health part, as Lakshmin described, the 30 women, they would be undergoing we call it like emotional capacity building and support group sessions. So one thing we also realize is as we go into the community, we don't, you know, perhaps use the word mental health so obviously. I'd rather call it a social and emotional support. And so what we have planned is every 3 to 4 weeks. So for the 4 months, we'll have 5 sessions in total covering various topics, where our facilitators, who are trained counselors or clinical psychologists, will go in and present just a short one. Like the theory really is just like, okay, for example, the first topic was on anxiety related to COVID situation and how are they generally. Then after that is really facilitating more how they're feeling, reflecting themselves. And what's really, really rich is that the sharing that could happen between them. So it's not just, you know, like a teacher lecturing, but the community members, they actually have tips and skills within themselves. And some with older children, they already have experience and they can even share for those with younger children to learn from. So the 2-hour kind of sharing broken up into small groups helps them to actually start to support one another, open up to one another, facilitated by our Souls Health team.
Has it been difficult to get them to open up? You know, across the board, I think in our culture, it's quite hard to talk about emotions and feelings and mental health issues.
Yeah. So thankfully, majority of them were pretty engaged and willing to open up. Perhaps the small group also helped. So we did not do 30 as a big group. It was broken up into four groups. So maximum would be 7 or 8 of them. And some of them know each other, some of them don't, although they live in the same PPR housing area. But when there was 1 or 2 who start to acknowledge certain things, then the rest thought, oh, I'm actually not so different. And I think in general, also this COVID situation helped us not to be so, afraid to recognize and acknowledge their stress and their difficulties. So thankfully, it has been good for them to actually, and they really appreciated the space. So that's what they really said. Even the 2-hour session each time was wonderful for them to really have that space for themselves.
All right. So you've talked about anxiety related to COVID-19. What other issues have you been able to cover with them?
So the anxiety related to COVID-19 is not just about themselves, and not just about the COVID-19 risk. It's a lot to do with financial stress and how are they dealing with it, and a lot to do about their worry about their children's current education and future. So financial stress is the big one. And so they actually also brainstorm or share what are they doing to cope with it. So we have actually stories like some of the women who actually really put in even more effort. They see opportunity in everyone or most people being more at home. And so then they put in the effort to actually reach out and do home deliveries to their neighbors. Of course, this requires a lot more effort and hours, but a few of them even managed to get more income, in fact, just a few of them, but really depending on the situation and resources. So other people get inspired, like, okay, this is not the end of it all. Like, there are ways that I could learn and I could be resilient and then work together to see how I could, do better. And even some of them ask their children for help, right? At least those who are old enough to deliver the food to the neighbors and all.
All right. And Madeline, Cindy has already mentioned that one of the key concerns for the women is, you know, how to help the children, support the children, especially in terms of education. But, you know, you will be working directly with the kids. So can you talk a little bit about how the psychosocial part of your therapy will work? You know, what kind of activities will be involved?
Yeah, so we are putting them in small groups, right? The thing about this is similar to what Cindy has said. When you give children a space, they will talk about what's going on. So we're creating that space. It's 10 sessions. However, it starts with story. We literally wrote a story, 10 chapters of the story. It starts with the story with a boy going to this land, and then the goo happens and everyone has to stay at home, right? So so every week there's a story followed by an activity, either whether it's art or play or figurines, to get them to process and talk about their emotions. So the four emotions that we will cover here will be angry, worry, sad, and overwhelmed. Because, you know, like we were saying, you know, when a child is stressed, if they act out, then if you have a very stressful parent, there may be a reaction from a parent. So we want to be able to hear their stories. And it's like, it's fun. Besides processing it, we also have regulating activities. How do you calm yourself, right? There are three ways of calming yourself. So it's breath, movement, or music. So we actually also have a song. It's fun. This will be shared with Cindy's group, the mother, so that, you know, when they're breathing, the mother is able to support them with the regulation activities also.
Lakshmin, and you and Women of Will have been working with the women in these communities for a longer time. So you have become more familiar with their daily lives and their daily challenges. You know, we've talked about their stresses, we've talked about their concerns, but can you help to paint a picture of what the life of a woman in one of these households is like on a daily basis?
Sure. So maybe I can paint the picture starting at COVID, right? So these women regularly wake up very early, take care of the children, send them off to school, and then start, you know, preparing for their food businesses or any business that they run. When the MCO happened, all this changed because, first of all, they couldn't operate their businesses anymore. So they had a complete loss of income. When we did a survey, we saw that 70% of the women lost their income from their businesses completely. So that was a huge hit on them financially, but also emotionally, because it was their business, right? It was what they spent their time on, right? So with the loss of that, they're very insecure. They don't know what they're supposed to do. They don't know how they can restart this business or what they should be doing with their time. At the same time, they've got all these added responsibilities of having to take care of the children, making sure the children are in a safe, comfortable position. And many times they've got about 2 to 6 to 8 children sometimes living in a very small PPR community. So as you can imagine, the children who are used to being out, being in school, having their own personal space, now they're sharing this personal space. And, you know, fights break out and mothers need to keep the peace, right? Make sure everyone's happy. Many of them also face their husbands or their older children losing their income as well. So the family's income is being affected, and managing that added stress of having everyone at home, right? So again, the women lose their personal space. Mm. And going back to the business, because they were not really prepared financially to go through a pandemic and a lockdown, many women have had to use their business capital to support their families, right? So for the first period of about 1 to 2 months, they were eating into their business capital to buy groceries and to buy food items to support their families. As such, they don't have any capital to restart their businesses. So over the past few months, we were able to secure some funding from a funder to give them some additional business capital just to restart their businesses. So now everyone is really focused on how do they adapt to this new normal, to this new condition, to the new SOPs, so that they can continue earning an income, right? And from this, like what Cindy has said, many of them have taken this as an opportunity to really start new businesses, grown it. Some of them have made more income. But for a majority of them, they're really just trying to find their footing and go online. Everyone's going online. So now competition online is incredibly high. And the women are facing challenges and things like creating content, being more competitive online, because it's a completely new ballgame for them. I can also share some stories where one woman actually ran an online business, and then at the start of the MCO, she gave birth to a beautiful baby boy, right? And at the same time, her husband lost his income because he was a taxi driver. Right. So you got a new baby, husband lost his income, so much stress, loss of income, very scary. So what she did was, after a month or two, she started a popcorn business. So she used the additional business capital aid that we gave her. She bought a popcorn machine, and now she's making popcorn and she's selling the popcorn, right? Because that's something she can do from a home with her neighbors. She's also doing it online. Another lady, husband was a chef, lost his job during the MCO. She used to sell nasi lemak ayam berempa. So now both husband and wife are working together to make nasi lemak ayam berempa, and they're selling it around their community, door to door. They also got a kiosk in one of the local commercial centers. So it's really about just trying to find their footing, trying to get back to some sense of stability, and then adapting the businesses so that they can still earn an income either from home or online.
Yeah, and what you've just described really captures resilience, doesn't it? Being able to find new opportunities and pick yourself up and move on. But Cindy, what does resilience mean from a mental health perspective? Because at the end of the day, that's what we want to achieve as well. Not just to help them survive on a day-to-day basis, but to be mentally well and strong. So can you talk a little bit about resilience from that perspective?
Yeah, sure. So resilience, when let's think about it, normally we'll think about like bouncing back or adapting, even in the face of adversity. And I've also picked out on this study or overall sharing that says resilience is made up of five pillars, which is self-awareness, mindfulness, self-care, positive relationships, and purpose. And so we see that it is a lot about getting to know ourselves first. Like to be able to bounce back in the face of adversity, we need to first be self-aware, like, okay, what do we need to do now? So let's say the stress or anxiety is particularly high, it might be to take a step back first, to take a breather. Of course, what else then can we do will then come after that. So what I'm trying to share here is to be able to actually sometimes do something, because the immediate stress is like, I need to do something right now. But then I'm stuck because the stress is too overwhelming. So to be resilient from the mental health perspective includes actually before just that bounce back, like nice to hear stories of, you know, people who have bounced back, but that period of being actually more aware, mindful, self-care. So part of our Soul Health program for the women would be really tips on self-care, tips on communication with family members that can also help themselves and family. And then reigniting that purpose within them. So then the bouncing back, the resilience is this whole package. Yeah.
Mm. Madeline, what about for children? What does resilience mean for them? What kind of outcomes would you like to see for the children in these communities?
Before I go to resilience focus, I'm going to just tell you two stories, right? One is there's a boy who is really struggling at home. Her mother is pulling her hair out because he will not do homework, room is really dirty, right? We'll sleep all day. And then I have another child who literally asked mother, was not coping, was all silent, and mother was too busy, and literally asked his mother to say, "Mom, I'm not really coping. Can you please take me to a counselor?" I mean, right? That's knowing, that's resilience.
Right.
You know, knowing that they can't cope, and then pulling whatever resources that they have to bounce back again so that they can actually deal with the situation. Children with resilience will need to be able to have a lot more tools, a lot more resources,
yep,
so that they can actually bounce back. This program, if we know that emotions are, if they can manage their emotions and emotions of their friends, it's not bad, it's not good, then there will come a time where there is actually self-acceptance and a child would say, I'm not actually not that bad. You know, so when there's self-acceptance and knowing that they're actually really not that bad, because, you know, if they act out, they're going to get scolded, right? That's where confidence is going to come. That's where when confidence comes, you know, they will be a little bit more creative and, you know, resilience is built, right? They will also be able to cope with dealing with shame. You know, sometimes they get put down because they're acting out or they're shut down. And if they know that their emotions are okay and they can name it, then shame isn't too bad and it also isn't so overwhelming and they will be able to be a little bit more resilient when it comes to feeling shamed or put down. It's just tools, right?
Yeah, like how Madeline put it, I think for the women also, we had like a part where they were drawing their emotions and all. So yes, I really love that self-acceptance, to be able to be resourceful and reach out for that help. That's really the mark of that resilience we're trying to build.
And how are the three of you working together? I know that you each have your individual programs, but do you come together or are you just running them separately?
So because it's COVID and CMCO, everything's, the interaction between the participants and us has been a mix of online and offline. So the face-to-face sessions conducted by Salt Health and POP are done separately because, again, they're on psychosocial support, counseling sessions and stuff like that. However, we have created a WhatsApp group with all the participants in it where we use that as a platform to basically share how the three of us are working together, our overall objective of the program and the big picture. Because it's really important for us, for the women and children, to understand the big picture of this program and what we're trying to achieve, which is that holistic resilience building for the entire family, so that they know that, okay, the programs that my children are attending are related to the programs that I'm attending, and this is how nutrition and mental health is interconnected. So they do know how we collaborate, they know us individually, but separate from that, our sessions are conducted separately.
Yeah, but as best possible, for example, like Madeline said, she'll be sharing with us how they are sharing breathing techniques and fun ways with the children. And so that in our follow-up third, fourth sessions, some of those our facilitators can then share with the mother. So mothers have been learning breathing techniques as well, and then they can do it together with their kids. So it's a bit harder to do it all together, given the COVID situation, but that's how we are interconnecting.
Of course, yeah. Lakshwin, I know women are particularly vulnerable. You know, at the same time, you know, if in this community, within these families, women and children are getting, learning these resources, who's helping the men?
Yeah, so I think the challenges that are being faced by the men right now are loss of income, loss of jobs, and basically just a loss of income and security. And there are other organizations supporting them, but also being supported by the family members. So when we work with the woman, we are really working with the whole family, right? So many times, as per my previous stories, the husbands and the women work together in their businesses, especially during this period. So we've been seeing that a lot as well. Many husbands supporting the women in their businesses that are run from home, especially because that's immediate income that they can earn. Yeah. Other than that, I've heard stories of many husbands and older children getting jobs with Grab delivery, Grab drivers and things like that.
But Cindy, even among men, if they have income generating aid and all of that, that's very important. But their resilience and their mental well-being has to be addressed as well. Am I right?
Yes. And how do we do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So in our past programs, like for example, we had our KAMI program, Keluarga Akrab Mencapai Impian, for parents and teenagers. So that was open to mother and father, or mother or father, to attend with their child. Some programs we managed to have a few fathers, but some programs, honestly, it was purely mothers. Yeah, there were a few fathers. And there was one particular program that we were really happy. At first, it was mother and two children attending. And on the final day, the mother asked before the final day, can my husband come as well? The kids have been saying it's such an important program and they want their father to come. And some days previously, the father was working or, you know, it's just a rest day from a long week of work. And the father was willing to come on the final day. So at least, you know, in the tie-up and the final module, the father could just, you know, be part of that whole process. And that was very meaningful. So what I could take away is that there are constraints, of course, for fathers also to be involved in a lot of programs. But through the mother and children, and slowly also, they start to open up more. As the communication open up in the rest of the family members, that's how we can also support the men.
Yeah. All right. And Madeline, for you working with children, how important is it to involve the parents in the therapy that you're doing with the kids?
It is important. So the psychosocial program, we will have to explain to them what is it that we do. So, you know, like, for example, we said that we will share our resources with Cindy because so that the message can get across and that they will, you know, they will be able to reinforce the messages also. However, therapeutically, we see boys, yeah? So we deal with boys. Yeah. We deal with boys. Actually, we see a lot of boys. A lot of boys are acting out. They're going back to school. You know, at one point they were going back to school and lots of behavioral problems. The parents are involved. It's fortunate in the sense that both parents are involved when it comes to the intake and dealing with their kids. So it's good to actually get the views of the father and the mother with regards to their children. Yeah.
All right. So Lakshwin, this is a 4-month program. How will you be measuring the outcomes?
So we'll be measuring for the nutrition, their eating habits and the family's dietary pattern before the program and then again at the end of the program. And because it's a relatively short program, what we're hoping to see is a change in their eating behavior, the dietary behavior, the type of foods that they purchase, the type of foods that they prepare for dinner and lunch. And through that, we can start seeing a change in behavior towards a more healthier dietary consumption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Cindy, what about from the emotional, the psychosocial parts that you're doing?
Yes, so definitely. We have been working with our research team in Souls Health to ensure that we get a questionnaire and like a semi-structured kind of interview at the end so that we could measure pre and post the changes in their emotional resilience kind of a scale.
All right. And Madeline?
Yeah, we have a pre-post test too in terms of measuring their stress level. It could be, hopefully the stress level goes down. Otherwise, it could also be increased or there could be disclosure. So it's really seeing the lens because it's artwork and there are a lot of activities that we do. We will be able to actually see the lens from the child's perspective mm-hmm. after the session.
All right. You know, but it is just 4 months though. Are there plans to extend beyond that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, we're hoping that the results from this program show that it is in fact needed and it is effective and that we can use this as a tool to then get funding for bigger programs in the future. Because we do recognize that this is a huge need, especially because of the COVID-19 and CMCU.
I think all kids need this space to be able to talk about what's going on, right? So, you know, that we have so many kids available, you know, absolutely, you know, can be extended to not just the, you know, B40 kids, but, you know, so many kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Kids in schools, kids in, you know, the refugees.
Yeah, and if I may add, this program, of course, it's the grant, the COVID response grant that we got from Ministry of Finance and Yayasan Hasana, mm-hmm. the Hasana special grant. And so it is for a certain period of time in response. But beyond that, especially Souls Health, we have been pretty much also envisioning for a variety of our programs, how we can build in more the long-term sustainability, which involves capacity building, task sharing, where some of the women, for example, can be also trained further as facilitators, peer support leaders. And yeah, I've spoken to our facilitators who've been directly involved with the women, and they could identify already some potentials. So beyond for the next few years, that really is the idea, right? Building the community strength to support themselves even more.
All right, great. Can I get a final message from each of you before we wrap up? You know, sort of a note to summarize what you hope to achieve from this program. Perhaps we can start with you, Madeline.
We hope to be able to tell the stories of children, right? That their voices are heard and seen, and they are seen, you know, their needs are met, and their rights, actually, basically their rights are met.
All right. Cindy?
Right. Similarly, really hoping to give the voice further to the mothers in this program and advocating for themselves. I wonder if, you know, later on, even on this kind of platforms, where the mothers themselves, the community members themselves, can further advocate and we can hear directly from them. That's my hope.
Absolutely. And Lakshin?
Yeah, so I think we're really excited about just increasing the awareness of the importance of mental health as well as nutrition for B40 families. And more than that, it's really working together with Soul Health and POP and really, you know, starting this idea and this model of NGOs collaborating and supporting communities in a holistic manner. And for that, really, I need to thank, as Cindy mentioned, Yayasan Hasana and the Ministry of Finance for making this collaboration possible.
All right. And I wish you all the best in the program and hope to hear more of it in other communities as well. Thank you so much for speaking to me. I've been talking to Cindy Chu from Souls Health, Lakshmi Muruga from Women of Will, and Madeline Yong from Power of Play. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.